الاستاذ يسبقين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The first question coming from a sister saying, السلام عليكم. Is it permissible to recite the first durood kitab during menses?
The first durood kitab can be recited while in the state of period of menstruation.
Alright.
It is permissible.
Alright.
Yes.
JazakAllah for that. We go on further. We have a caller from Zinyaval in Rustenburg, anonymous caller, saying, Assalamu alaikum. Can Ishraq Salah be read after having breakfast?
Yes, it can be read. However, the sawab will definitely be less. As far as these Nawafil Salat are concerned, that understand one very beautiful point which I learned on this trip, that Maulana Qasim al-Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayh has written that if a person has to make a study of the Nawafil Salat, then they total 50. That is why we find a fluctuation of the number of rakats in Tahajjud Salat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make up that 50, because when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went for Miraj, he was given first the order of 50 salat, then it was reduced to 5. So in gratification, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should make 50 salat during the entire day. That is why when we start calculating it, counting it, enumerating it, we will get a fluctuating figure in Tahajjud.
Alright, JazakAllah for the study going further. We have another call, another message. Can we say it? Says, Assalamu alaikum. Salam, a year back I stole my gold coin and I went back home and I gave my brother the sum of the money. Then after a few months I came back to my husband. Was it wrong to sell my dowry and use it with my brother, but I'm still married?
Do you understand the question?
The first part not too clearly, Mufisa.
Because I cannot understand what the question. If you repeat it, maybe I can try to make out.
Let's try to go through it again. It says, Assalamu alaikum, a year back I stole my gold coin and went back home. I gave my brother the sum of the money. Then after a few months I came back to my husband. Was it wrong to sell my dowry and use it with my brother, but I'm still married?
No, it's not wrong. When you are given dowry, I understand what she's saying now. She was given gold coins as dowry.
Right.
She was given gold coins as meher.
Gee.
Now, the meher is the possession of the wife. Once it has been given to her as dowry, it is not the possession of the husband. And this is a very important thing to know, that when dowry is given to the wife, that the wife is the shari, legal owner of that wealth. Now, also a second masala comes out here, that if that was gold coins or gold jewelry, then because she is the owner of it, because she is in possession of it, she will have to pay zakat on it once it goes over one Islamic lunar year. She took it. She sold it to her brother or gave it the money to her brother. That is absolutely permissible.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with that. It is her property. It is in her control. It is in her jurisdiction. She has done nothing wrong.
Alright, yes. Allah for the topic on further. The time is 11 minutes to 9 o'clock. Remember, the phone program number is 011-854-1548. And the cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082-580-8070-082-580-8070. We have a number of talaq and divorce questions here. The one saying, please explain what talaq iba'in is and what are its implications. And it further says, is halala necessary for couple to reconcile even after 3 menstrual cycles? Kindly clarify.
Yes. First of all, this is a complex situation and question because it's got many details. Number one, if a person utters divorce, it can either be clear or ambiguous, indirect. So one is direct, one is indirect. What we call sari and kinaya. Sari, that is clear, the person issued one divorce. So that will become rajas. A person can recall his wife, reconcile, and take back his wife within the 3 menstruation periods. Secondly, the fine one is an indirect divorce. First example is a person told his wife, one person unfortunately tells his wife, I divorce you. That is clear. But in unclear, indirect, it depends on the intention of the sayer. A person told his wife, pack up your bags and leave. That is indirect. It will depend on the intention of the sayer, the husband. If he meant divorce, it will go through. But this is now buy-in because it is indirect. In both cases, within the iddat period, which is 3 menstruation times, then the person, if he behaves with his wife like how normally a husband and wife behave, holding, embracing, etc., not necessarily a relationship, they do not have to renew their marriage, but the person has lost one divorce, he's got 2 left. In that case, there is no need for fresh nikah. When a person issues 3 divorces, then there is unfortunately the need for halala.
Yes.
But after the person has issued 1 divorce or 2 divorces, and his wife has passed the period of iddat, waiting period, then that person does not have to make halala, he just has to make fresh nikah.
Alright, JazakAllah, the clarification that underlines and explains rather the different types of talaq. Mustafa, with regards to divorce, the question being that is divorce valid by force?
By?
By force.
By force?
Ji.
If the person was threatened and he wrote it, by writing it, the divorce does not fall. As far as when he was forced, the Mufti will interview the person who was forced and to determine whether any limb or life was going to be jeopardized. If there was going to be life or limb jeopardized, then that forced divorce written one would not be valid. As far as the person who says it, then there is some difference of opinion that most of the ulama are saying that if the person said it, then the divorce goes through. Some ulama of the opinion know it does not go through.
Alright, JazakAllah Mustafa for that. And we take one more question, then after we take a short break for the news and we will continue thereafter. The other question is, it says, Salam, just want to know what the reasons are for not being able to dye our hair black.
Obviously, this is the question posed by a male.
Yes.
Now, black hair generally will make a person look young. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are various reasons for this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rasulullah has cursed the person, the male who imitates the female who imitates the male. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he does not like the young to behave like the old and the old to behave like the young.
Mm.
Now, black hair is synonymous with youth. So a person, when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given him white hair, and according to the meaning of another hadith, white hair shows maturity and also wisdom and foresight and insight. And also white hair will remind a person easily of death than black hair. So black hair has been declared not permissible because this will create similarity or will make the person feel, oh, I want to be a young person. And thirdly, it leads to deception.
Mm-hmm.
People will think this person is a young person. Meanwhile, he's hiding his white hair, covering it with black. And this is deception, and deception is not permissible in Islam. But if a person dyes the hair in any other color, that obviously the looker will know that, okay, this person has got white hair, but he has now got another color like red, etc. So definitely he is an elderly person. That is why black hair, dyeing and using color black is allowed during wartime. Why? Because you have to give the impression to the enemy and foe that we are all young and we are all ready to die.
Alright, Mr. Jazakallah for that beautiful answer. We had about 12 questions that came through, and we'd like to go through the first one. It says, Salam, I would like to know, nowadays there is different colors of Mehndi and Hana. Can we use them on hair and nails? And the other question is, can we use black Mehndi on our nails?
All those colors are permissible. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that for beautification regarding females, it is their color. And beautification concerning the males will be the fragrance. Unfortunately, these days, the men become very colorful, dressing in so many other colors, and especially nowadays, that they will now dye their hair, streak their hair, and put dark glasses. Funny looking they are presenting in the world. And the females, they will put on fragrance. And whereas there is a hadith, which means the female that applies fragrance and leaves her home, that is like an adulteress. So all those types of dye, or henna dye, etc., for the females will be permissible. Mm-hmm. However, that she should not dye the hands and feet and display them to to strangers at least. They should be for those who are her mahrams.
Alright, JazakAllah, Mr. Sahib, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
JazakAllah, Sahib, I'll brother your question.
The question has got up on Surah or Kitab. Can you go with that in a toilet? And the second one is, in traveling, can you keep a Kitab or Quran in your bag?
Alright, sir.
And then I would like to know how many Hajj did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make?
Alright, JazakAllah. Mr. Sahib, you got a question?
Yes.
All right, JazakAllah, brother, for your call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
To take a Qur'an-i Kareem or any juice of the Qur'an or any part of the Qur'an-i Kareem into the toilet will be absolutely not permissible.
All right. Well, sir, before we go on with the other question, the other answer, sorry, can we take another caller?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Can I stay anonymous?
Yes, anonymous.
Yes. I just want to pose to Mufti a question on the nikah.
Alright.
If somebody makes nikah, okay?
Alright.
And, okay, if he's still in a marriage, let me put it that way. Okay, if he's still in a marriage and he makes nikah to another woman, okay?
Yeah.
And initially he doesn't tell the first wife.
Jesus.
Okay, and the wife, the first wife finds out.
Yeah.
And okay, that creates a problem.
Jesus.
Okay. And okay, the first wife goes through the divorce proceedings and whatever. Okay.
Okay.
And eventually, at the end of the day, you know, he's neither with the second wife. Or, and he's still with the first wife, but she's gone through a divorce proceedings and whatever.
How she went through this divorce proceedings through the Kufar court?
Yes.
Okay, carry on.
So all
the husband did not issue a divorce for the first wife?
No.
Okay, carry on your question now.
Okay, and then what the first wife done was, she... Basically, I don't know if it's permissible, not to my knowledge. That can she give the husband a talak?
That's your question.
Ji.
Okay, I'll answer that.
Okay.
Molana, you noted it, Molana?
Ji, brother, just the last part I couldn't get. What you said after the, just about before the talak part?
Then I got it, don't worry.
Okay, you got it. Jazakallah, brother. Jazakallah for your call.
Can I listen on the phone?
Ji, sure, go ahead, brother. Alright, JazakAllah for your call. Assalamu alaikum. You listening on the radio or the phone?
No, I'm going to listen on the phone.
Okay, JazakAllah, hold on. Mustaf, your response?
You see, in Islam, the female does not have the right of divorce. Now she went to the Kufar court and started the proceedings. That divorce issued by a non-Muslim judge or a non-Muslim court on behalf of the female is not valid in Sharia. Only when the female can get a right of divorce is at the time or subsequently of the marriage, when the man, the male, in his right frame of mind sees without any jurors the right of divorce or two divorces to the wife. Willingly, voluntarily, he gives over his right to his wife. For example, he writes that I hereby so-and-so give a right of divorce to my wife so-and-so, one or two, etc. Then, in that case, she can divorce him. Other than that, as a common blanket law rule and principle, the right of divorce is in the hands of the husband and not the wife. In the question that has been posed, that the husband has not issued the shari divorce and talaq, therefore the first wife is still his wife, and the second wife is obviously his wife. So he has concurrently got two wives. First wife, who thinks she is got a divorce via the non-Muslim judge, which in Sharia is not valid. So this person has still got both wives.
Alright, brother, does it answer your question?
JazakAllah.
JazakAllah, yes, the woman can't give talaq. We can't further have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, sister.
I just want to know that a few weeks back, three that was in our yard, the three fell down. So then we had one worker who chopped it and took it away in it for us. And then all the logs that were, the big logs that were left of the tree, the worker said that he wants it. So then he asked us to leave it in our yard and then he'll come with a lorry or a fati or something and he'll take it.
Right.
But it's been quite a few weeks now and he hasn't come. So a lot of other people are coming to ask us if they can take the logs. So the worker hasn't been back. So we want to know whether we can give it away or do we have to keep it?
All right, so that's, I think, a very, very important question. If you start your response to that.
Can you trace the worker? Can you trace that worker whom you promised?
Maybe.
If you can trace him, you trace him and tell him that your logs are here, you come. So if you can trace him, you trace him. If you cannot trace him, then give him one more week and then give it to whomsoever you want to.
See.
Does it answer the question, sister?
See.
Alright, directly for your call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, I think I have another call on the line or other question. We'll come to that question later on. When you start, the next question is from my sister. She wants to know.
No, hold on.
Oh, sorry, there was the traveling question for the Quran.
One is that he must not take any Quran or part of Quran into the toilet.
Jee.
Secondly, while traveling, you can put Quran in your bag, suitcase, etc. And as long as now it is in your bag, suitcase, you can travel with it. And technically speaking, what his brother wants to know, I think that sometimes you are traveling and then the Quran is in your suitcase but it is in the boot, or the Quran is in the suitcase and is under your bed. All those things are permissible. Thirdly, the brother asked about, what did he ask?
The third question was, how many Hajj did the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam make?
The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, according to the big Sheikh of Hadith, Mawlana Azami, he stated, and I quoted this in one of my books, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made two hajjas. One was prior to him proclaiming his nubuwwat, and one was obviously what we call the farewell hajj. According to some scholars, they say, no, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made three hajjas. Two to prior the proclamation of nubuwwat, and one after proclamation of nubuwwat. After proclamation of nubuwwat, it is certain he made one Hajj, which is called the Hajjatul Wida.
Alright, JazakAllah, we're going further. We have a question on the computer screen. It states as follows: a man paid with his own money to buy a house When he bought the house, he put it under his wife's name. Due to certain circumstances, after a while, the wife sold the house without his permission, and he bought another house. Is this permissible, Mufti?
Now, because it is on her name, and because he put it on her name, now we do not know the details. Perhaps at that time when he did that, then he was had a mutual agreement between his wife that, listen, I will buy this house, and to avoid tax, etc., I'm going to put it on your name. And I am only doing this, I am the owner of it, but I am doing this for a technical purpose. Now, in that case, then he is the owner, but she is the owner on paper. But if he was very much in love with her, and he told her, no, this is your house, and now he does not like her because she sold that house, then now he is trying to get the Mufti to say actually she sold his house. So until we don't know the final details, who is the actual owner of that house, and if he has to take it to the Qazi, the person who is going to rule, the ruling is going to go into the favor of the female, the wife, because she's got legal documents to prove that that is her house. However, that lady, she has done a very unbecoming act by selling that house, which is technically on her name, but according to the questionnaire, it is her husband's. So she, whether it was on her name or not her name, she should have at least made mashura with her husband. Unfortunately, an action like this generally leads to quarrel, fighting, dispute, and eventually, unfortunately, it goes to the borders of divorce.
Gee, definitely. Is that possibly that Bichara husband put the house on his wife's name when they want honeymoon? Gee, God forbid. Mustafa, we say, Assalamu alaikum. Please could you advise me, what ayats can I read to make my debt payments easier?
First of all, this is a very good question, because if a person is worried about his debt and is worried how many people is owing money, that's very good in this age. Because too many questions and too many queries we get that I've been taken for a ride, people are not paying me, I've borrowed money. Now when I phone, they tell me he's not available, he's all the time busy in the toilet and bathroom. Wherever I phone, this person is only busy in those two places. And this person has got some concern. So it is stated that if a person enters his house, and upon entry his house, he greets, and then recites Surah Ikhlas three times. Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allah, three times. And then he greets the inmates.
Right.
Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate his difficulties and will remove his debts and will make him a wealthy person.
Amen.
But a simple thing also to do is to make two rakats of nafil namaz, salat hajat, of need, and plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it very easy for him to pay his debts.
Right.
As long as he's got sincerity in paying his debts, he can be rest assured Allah will help him.
Inshallah. And what about the dua, which is Allahumma kfini bi halalika wa haramika waqni bi fadlika amman siwak?
Yes, inshallah, you can read that.
Alright, we'll go on further. The next question is sent via SMS. It says, Assalamu alaikum. My question is, what time can a woman read Dhuhr Salah on a Friday?
And this is a very good question.
Yes.
And it not only pertains to women's Salat, it also pertains to Sunnah Salat of the men, and it also pertains to all the Salat of the female. The female and those who are listening should know the times of Salat. For example, that as soon as Sehri ends, the Tahajjud ends, and automatically Fajr starts. So they do not have to wait for the Muazzin to give the Fajr Azan. They can read their Sunnat and the Fajr, and obviously go back to Tilawat or the bed. Now Zohar Salat, as soon as Zawal ends, the time of Zuhur has started, and females are under the impression, know that, for example, if Zawal ends at 12:15, they are under the impression they'll have to wait till 12:45 for the Azan to start, then we can make the Sunnah and the Zuhur. No, that is not the case. As soon as the wall ends at 12:15, I'm saying this, that you have to check your timetable and see when the wall ends. As soon as it ends, you can make your sunnah and you can make your faraz. You do not have to wait for the azan, then make your zohr or your asr. Similarly, the men are under the impression that they have to wait for the azan of zohr and then make the sunnah. That is wrong. That is why we are jammed with wuzu khana and toilet facilities problems. If the man knows he can make his, for example, sunnah after zawal, then he will go toilet, he will use his house toilet, make the sunnah of zohr at home, and then go for the faraz in the masjid. But we, unfortunately, are either due to lack of knowledge or ignorance, we think we have to wait for the zohr azan and then make the sunnah. Whereas the sunnah of zohr, for example, sets in as soon as zawal ends.
Gee, all right, Jazakallah, that answers that. And we go on further with a number of questions. The next one is, if you laugh in namaz, does your wudu break?
Laughing in salah, which has got a ruku and a sijda, will break the salah automatically, break the wuzu and the salah automatically. But laughing in janaza salah does not break the wuzu or the salah.
All right, there is a difference in that, JazakAllah. The next question is, it says, Assalamu alaikum.
Which police idiot will laugh in janaza salah?
It just crossed my mind with him. Anyway, maybe he's a clown. We go on further. He says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti Sahib. MashaAllah. What is the latest hukam regarding blood donation? JazakAllah khair.
The blood donation, ulama ikram have stated that it is permissible, provided that they do not sell the blood.
Alright, we go on further. So the brother wants to know, what is the meaning of nadir?
Nadir? It means in the Quran Kareem that a warner, a admonisher, a person who has come with a message that will make you fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also will make you fearful of the day of judgment and the day of accountability and the day of retribution.
JazakAllah, as Allah says that وَجَاءَكُمْ النَّذِيرُ, a warner has come to you. So the other question is, Assalamu alaikum, can a female in her period make muzakara of the last 10 surahs verbally?
Muzakara, she can make ta'lim of it by breaking up the ayats, not reciting the ayats completely. Breaking up the ayats meaning that she will not say kul huwa Allahu ahad, she will say kul, and she would carry on breaking the ayat and not making any constructive, meaningful sentences. That is, for example, the apas who generally teach in the madaris, in the maktabs, know this law, that she will not make muzakara of it, like you have, for example, a talimi session going on. She will not do that.
Okay, JazakAllah. The next question is, Assalamu alaikum, is it permissible for a ma'adhoor to perform tahajjud and fajr salah or the same wudu?
A ma'adhoor should not do that. A ma'adhoor should make the tahajjud salah separately and then make another wudu for the fajr salah.
Okay, we go on further. It says, Assalamu alaikum, I'm Adila. I covered my face in a haram whereby the cloth touched it for about 8 hours. I didn't give them a sadaqah. What should be done now?
You should, when someone is going to the haram, when someone is going to Mecca, then, for example, here, if the gold price was 300 riyals, so you divide 300 by 24 and you will get a figure, and take that figure and time it by 8, then you will get another figure. Take that amount, when a person is going for Hajj, tell them to distribute it amongst the poor in Makkatul Mukarrama, in the precepts of the Haram.
Alright, JazakAllah. We go on further. The next question is, can you clarify for me something? Is it true that Is it true that if a man's parents tell him to divorce his wife for whatever reason, then this husband has to divorce his wife?
People unfortunately have not understood the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam when he instructed his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam that change your threshold. There was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Jaleel al-Qadr Nabi, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, who obviously is constantly assisted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who assessed the situation, and then he instructed his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam to change the threshold, meaning translated as change the doorstep, and this means that give your wife divorce. So a Nabi was giving the instruction and a Nabi was receiving the instruction, and someone may also try to say that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala once also told his son to do in a similar manner.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to be the caliber of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to instruct and of the son to receive that instruction. However, in our age, generally the instructions given by the father to the son to divorce the wife in most cases is not for any shari valid reason. If the father instructs the son to divorce and if there is a shari valid reason, then he has to present that reason to his son. But for mere whim, fancy, or unfortunately if the daughter-in-law said something to the father-in-law and now the father-in-law wants to take revenge and bully the divorce out, that is totally un-Islamic and not becoming of good relationship.
Alright, JazakAllah Sir. You going further, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, brother, JazakAllah, for a call or question.
I would like to ask Mufti Saab is...
Hello. Brother, you're breaking up for it.
Hello.
Hello, Chief Brother Mafi, you're breaking up. Can you repeat the question?
I would like to ask Mufti Saab is cupping hijama sunnah.
Okay. Ji.
Can Mufti Saab respond?
Alright, JazakAllah Saab, your response to cupping is hijama and cupping sunnah.
Cupping, people are under the wrong impression and they feel that cupping is the sunnah. Understand something, that one is jurisprudic sunnah. When I say jurisprudic sunnah, I mean a action of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been classified. That is why we get jurisprudic terminology like faraz, wajib, sunnah, mustahab, makruh, tahrimi, makruh, tanzihi. These are all what we call jurisprudic terminology. Cupping is not jurisprudically sunnah, and cupping has been misunderstood, misrepresented, and those who make others and want to promote their business of cupping, they will take out leaflets, pamphlets, etc. and say cupping is sunnah. So cupping is not sunnah. If you even look at Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, written by Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, and the commentary of it, no way it is stated that this is jurisprudically sunnah. Everything Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did was later codified, classified into jurisprudic terminology, and that is why we get things like masnoon du'as, or you get du'a masura, or you get khitab masura, and you will get actions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which are not even classified, or they classify as permissible. For example, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, due to need, necessity, situation and circumstances, case and scenario, he stood and urinated. So this does not make everything standing and urinating as part of sunnah, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. There are many things which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did and which are not even permissible for the Ummah to do. For example, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 9 wives. So it's not permissible for any Muslim to have more than 4 wives at a time. So cupping, that is, remember the climate in those areas and the situation and circumstances, they had to resort to cupping as a medical treatment. So it is a nafil, optional, mubah, permissible medical treatment and a good, proper pious Muslim righteous doctor will have to determine in our country, especially South Africa, or even in cold countries like England, etc., that this person requires cupping or not. The removal of blood, whether it is dry cupping or wet cupping, is not sunnah, fiqhi sunnah. It is not jurisprudentially sunnah. It is permissible depending on the patient, depending on the climate, depending on the food intake, depending on the patient's makeup and conscience. That will determine whether he should indulge in that medical treatment or not.
All right, brother. I saw that that answers your question. JazakAllah, your brother is gone. Mr. We have one final question for tonight. It's quite late, 25 minutes to 10 o'clock. I'm sure you're tired as well. The last question is, Assalamu alaikum. It says, I'd like to know if organ transplants and donating organs is permissible.
The latest ruling on this is that if it is a organ of necessity or dire necessity and need, or it was basically life-supporting organ, if it is a life-supporting organ, then the transplantation will be permissible.
All right, yes. Mr. Abdami, go on further. All right, the question is that the distance between LDM and lens is 79 kilometers. So should a person make salat or qasr?
He'll make full salat.
He'll make full salat. All right, JazakAllah. Sir, JazakAllah for your time and for your time, your help and dedication. And on behalf of all, we'd like to really thank you. JazakAllah wa ahsanal jaza fi dunya wal akhirah. And we appreciate your answers and response to the questions posed. Sir, JazakAllah and remember us in humble dua.
You too, inshallah. And all the listeners too, inshallah.
Amen, inshallah. Sir, JazakAllah. We'll speak next week, Tuesday, same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.